Well, sometimes words take on a life of their own, and their meaning evolves over time to have depth and richness far beyond a dictionary definition. And the Bible is filled with words like this. A couple examples are the words amen and hallelujah. Now, I've read definitions of these words, but the definitions always fall flat because both of these words are words that we experience. Amen, we say every day after prayers of thanks and prayers of desperation. And hallelujah, we say during and after miracles. We hear it sung and we sing it together. Today, we'll look at another such word from the Bible. And we'll cover the definition of the word up front, but then go into the depth and richness of that word. And today, the word we're going to study is the word Hosanna. Now, for years, when I first started reading the Bible, I thought Hosanna was simply a cry of joy. I thought that it meant essentially the same thing as hallelujah. But that's not what the Hebrew actually means. Hosanna literally means save us, or please save us now. It's a plea, not praise. But in time, the word grew to carry much more meaning. If you look up the word Hosanna in a commentary or Bible dictionary, you'll sometimes find what seems like a contradiction. My Bible app says that Hosanna means, oh save, an exclamation of adoration. How can a desperate cry for help also be an expression of praise? Hosanna is a word that sits at the intersection of need and hope. So let's take a look at this word in context and explore the richness of this meaning. Let's turn to Matthew 21, and we'll start in verse 1. Matthew 21 and verse 1 says, "Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them.'" The author writes, "All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet." That prophet was Zechariah. And Matthew goes on to quote Zechariah in verse 5, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. In verse 8, it says, "And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from trees and spread them on the road." This multitude, the people of Jerusalem, were struggling. Jerusalem was occupied by the Roman Empire, and the people were oppressed by the ruling class. There was heavy taxation, there were Roman soldiers oppressing people in their streets, and there was an ever-present threat of violence and even crucifixion. And their religion wasn't much of an escape. Their priests were closely aligned with that Roman power, and they were more concerned with their own power structure and maintaining the status quo than loving God and supporting the people. Temple worship had become financially burdensome and set up stumbling blocks that made God spiritually inaccessible for many. As Jesus often pointed out, these burdens were emphasized over mercy. So in short, the religious system itself probably felt costly, distant, and unforgiving. And for the people, this created a constant longing for deliverance, especially during Passover season, because Passover has always been a festival about freedom from oppression. So when Jesus enters Jerusalem as a humble king who speaks of mercy, justice, and God's nearness, his message resonates deeply with the people. So how do they respond? They respond by crying out a hymn that they regularly sang, one that spoke to both their need for deliverance and the joy that their deliverance may have arrived. In verse 9, it says, "Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And this is directly from Psalm 118. But let's take note before we turn that everything here that the people said was translated by the author except Hosanna. Instead of "Save us, Son of David," we have "Hosanna to the Son of David." Hosanna is not translated, it's transliterated. And this means that the authors chose to preserve the sound instead of translating the meaning to new words. Words like Hosanna, Amen, and Hallelujah were transliterated because they were already worship words that resonated deeply with the audience. So Hosanna had deep meaning that translating it would flatten. And I think these words are a gift today. It's like an invitation to explore that deeper meaning of the word. So let's turn to Psalm 118. This is the song that the people cried out. Psalm 118. And this psalm will be familiar to you. Like the people in Jerusalem that day, we sing a version of this hymn as well. And it's also one of the most quoted psalms in the New Testament. Psalm 18 was the final psalm of Hallel, which is a group of psalms that were sung during the pilgrimage feasts, including Passover. So when the crowd saw Jesus, this psalm would have been top of mind for them because they were singing it that very week. So as we read this psalm, let's consider it from the perspective of an oppressed people, crying out in need for a long-promised Messiah and in desperate need for deliverance. Psalm 118 and verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let Israel now say, his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron now say, his mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord now say, his mercy endures forever. I called on the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I shall see my desire on those who hate me." In verse 8, "It is better to trust in the Lord than put confidence in men. It is better to trust in the Lord than put confidence in princes." In verse 22, it says, "The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." And in verse 25, pivoting from joy to need, here we have what the crowd sang out to the Messiah that day. Verse 25, "Save us." And this is the word, Hoshiana, which was transliterated for us as Hosanna. "Hosanna, save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord." When these words were cried out by the people in Jerusalem, Hosanna still meant "save now," but it had already taken on a deeper meaning. For the people, Hosanna brought to mind the messianic promises in the psalm that we just read. It brought to mind Passover season and singing these words with their family and with their congregations. It brought to mind God's deliverance at the original Passover and through the ages. And it represented a desperate cry for salvation yet again. This time, salvation from state and religious oppression. Jesus Christ entered Jerusalem that day and delivered us all, but not in the way that the people anticipated. He sacrificed himself for the sins of humanity, and in paying that penalty made it possible for all of us to truly be saved and to eventually join his kingdom and his family. And in crying out Hosanna that day, the people added to the legacy and the meaning of the word. Today, when we hear Hosanna, we immediately picture the triumphal entry and associate it with this season and Christ's deliverance. Like the people that day, we need the Messiah. Every Passover, we examine ourselves, we consider Christ's sacrifice, acknowledge our own desperate need for salvation, and reaffirm our commitment to God. And so we approach Passover soberly, but also with joy because of what God has done for us. And also like the people that day, we still need ultimate deliverance, from this world and its empires. Jesus Christ will return, he will topple the power structures of this world, and he will establish the kingdom of God. And perhaps when Jesus Christ returns, when every eye sees him, we will be looking for words that express both our desperate need for deliverance and our joy that that day has finally come. And maybe we too will cry out, Hosanna.